Thank you very much, and good afternoon to everybody. Thank you for joining for our announcement of the full year financial results for 2019. As stated, my name is Gary Mazzotti. I'm the Deputy Chairman of EPIF, and I'm joined today by Finance Director Philip Bilak, and we're pleased to take you through our results for the financial year 2019. Hopefully you have the presentation in front of you. If we can move to page 5 of the presentation, I'm pleased to give you an overall summary of where we are. EP Infrastructure continues to be a leading Central European group. We operate traditional energy infrastructure assets. We have 4 core divisions. Nothing has changed in the course of the year. We have transmission, distribution and storage of gas, distribution of electricity, and the provision of district heating. We are predominantly in the territories of Slovakia, Czech Republic, with also operations now in Germany and in Hungary. EPIF's strategy remains the same as in prior years. We operate predominantly in assets that are either regulated or long-term contracted, with a relatively low sustainable maintenance capex, and therefore a relatively high operating result that translates into free cash flow. The reasons are stated in the presentation, and for those that know EPIF well, they haven't changed. If we move therefore to the key numbers, we're very, very pleased to announce that the consolidated sales for 2019 rose to 3.48 billion euros. We have an adjusted EBITDA for 2019 of 1.6 billion euros, which is a 10% increase on the result for 2018. We have an adjusted free cash flow of 1.1 billion euros, which is an 8% increase on our results for 2018. And one of our key KPIs, group cash conversion ratio, for 2019 stood at 69% compared to 70% for 2018, reflecting a little extra capex in one of our core divisions. We had some activity and acquisition at the end of 18, which will take you through how successful they were. However, we're pleased to announce that the leverage on a proportionate net leverage basis at the end of 2019 was highly conservative, 3.9 times. For those that are holders of our euro bonds, you know that in fact we have a dividend lock-up covenant at 4.5. So we're pleased to confirm that we're operating well within that covenant. The results for 2019, or the exceptional results for 2019, driven by three main factors. Clearly, we're pleased to confirm that we continue to be able to operate the businesses extremely efficiently. Secondly, the results are driven by M&A activity that we conducted at the end of 2018. And thirdly, there are in 2019 what we would consider to be fairly exceptional circumstances in all four of our divisions that drove the business forward, not least of which a 16% growth in volumes of the gas transmitted in 2019. I'll go into more details on the individual divisions, but strong operational performance, strong and successful M&A integration, and one-off exceptional circumstances that benefited all four divisions. If we move then to page 7, we can confirm that the group structure in fact, has not changed since our last presentation. EPIF remains a joint venture between EPH and Macquarie's through their MIF 5 infrastructure fund. We have gas transmission as the largest of our divisions, the pipelines through Slovakia taking Russian gas to Central and Southern Europe. Company continues to be owned in joint venture with the Slovak state of 49% by EPIF, but with full management control. Second division continues to be our gas and power distribution division. We own the gas distribution monopoly, SPPR Distribucia, in Slovakia, again 49% owned by EPIF, the balance owned by the Slovak state with full management control. And we own one of three electricity distribution companies in Slovakia, SSE Holding, which is also 51-49% owned by the Slovak state. Our third core division is gas storage. We are a predominant gas storage operator in Czech, Slovakia, and with links into the markets in Austria. And we also acquired at the end of 18 in Nafta Spica, our first acquisition of storage facilities in Germany, where we now have, I believe, 9% of the storage market in Germany. And our fourth and final division we call Heat Infra, district heating, hot water, supply of district heating to major conurbations in the Czech Republic. And that is also a regulated business. Of the four divisions, therefore, three of them, gas transmission, gas and power distribution, and heat infra, are all regulated divisions. Gas storage is the only division we have which is not regulated, but it continues to be long-term contracted. We have on the table to the right some key numbers there for you. We can see that 17 and 18, the adjusted EBITDA is around 1.46 billion. And we can see that the adjusted EBITDA in 19 reached 1.6 billion based on a consolidated basis. And we'll talk you through the reasons why we feel this is a slightly exceptional result, as opposed to a normalized result. Proportionate adjusted EBITDA also rose nicely from 818 million euros to 885 million euros. We've mentioned before the 8% rise in adjusted free cash flow, and we've mentioned before that the cash conversion ratio remained relatively constant at 69%, as well as the proportionate net debt, and indeed the proportionate net leverage ratio of 3.9. All in all, a healthy level of KPIs for presentation today. If we move to page 8 of the presentation, we give you a more in-depth analysis of the performance, and clearly gas transmission had a significantly successful year. As you know, in 2019, there was some significant discussions as to whether Gazprom and Ukraine would conclude a new agreement for the transit of gas from Russia through Ukraine to Slovakia. And during that period of uncertainty, then clearly there was an accelerated transit of gas in multiple directions through our pipelines as the market prepared itself for the possibility that the two parties would not enter into a new contract as of the end of 2019. We will discuss it later, but clearly we were pleased that the two parties did in fact sign a new agreement at the end of 19. But you should see the gas transmission results in that there were volumes of gas being transmitted through Europe and indeed through our transit pipelines, which were above normal long-term contracted flows that we have and effectively consisted of exceptional flows. And therefore, there is a fairly exceptional result where the EBITDA rose to 737 million euros from 665. The gas transmission, which is the key KPI we give you, rose from 60 BCM in 2018 to 69 BCM in 2019, which I think shows you exactly why the results were as they were. Gas and power transmission, an extraordinary steady and solid performance. The businesses were able to find one or two operational gains which were could be considered in one-off in nature, which resulted in a rise from 502 million to 516 million EBITDA. The gas and power distribution remained highly constant in the figures that we give you, 51 terawatt hours of gas, 52 in 2019. A really stable division, and yet again from our gas and power distribution, a really predictable, solid performance. Gas storage had an exceptional year. Two main reasons for that. Clearly, at the end of 18, we acquired some storage assets in Bavaria, which have now been rebranded as Naphta Spiker. We're pleased to say that that acquisition was extremely successful. Not only did it come with long-term contracted volumes, we were able to fill the spare capacity as well during the year. One of the key outcomes of significant transit of gas in Europe last year was effectively that all storage facilities in Europe were full. And that, of course, gives a highly positive effect for our storage business over and above the long-term contracted volumes that we had. So the transit of gas and the storage of the gas could be considered a fairly exceptional circumstances in 2019, which are contributing to fairly exceptional results for ourselves. The final division, Heat Infra, again, an exceptional result, driven firstly by the first-time consolidation of our joint venture in the city of Pilsen with Pilsen Teplarenska, where we now own 34% of the combined business in Pilsen, in joint venture with the city of Pilsen, but with full management control. And secondly, the Heat Infra business also managed to find some one-off improvements in EBITDA, which contributed to an exceptional result. So in total, all four businesses performed as expected, and then with some exceptional circumstances, performed above expectation. And the readers of these results should take into consideration an element of front loading of shipments and storage of gas from 2020 into 2019 result. In total, we give you adjusted EBITDA of 1.61 billion euros, up from 1.47 billion euros, a highly satisfactory performance. If we move now to page 9, I'd ask Philip Belak, Finance Director of EPIF, to take us through some of this analysis and then to take us through the main capital structure movements, policies, and strategies that we've implemented during the year. Philip?
Thanks for that, Gary. So if we do have a look at page 9 and 10, what I have prepared is basically a benchmarking study that I do really love, because it puts EP infrastructure into perspective with other peers from Northern and from Southern Europe. You can clearly see that despite in some cases EP infrastructure is a little bit smaller than where the company really excels at, and that's actually pinpointing what Gary was saying, is extremely high cash conversion ratio. Whereas before taxes, we do convert approximately 86% of our EBITDA into cash. You can see at our competitors, the percentage really varies from 10 to 75%. So we are really excellent in this particular measure. And that's also then converting into our ability how fast we can actually repay our debts. So if you do have a look at that, you can see that basically on full terms, we are basically capable of repaying our leverage within 3 years' time. If we do take into account cash taxes and also the proportions, we do actually repay our debts within 6 years, which is truly remarkable, specifically if you do compare that to our peers. So that's for you to have a look at as that after. With that, let me turn to page 12, which describes financing strategy of EPIF Group. So I'm basically happy to say that not much has changed as compared to the last delivery of half-year results. So basically, what we are aiming for is still targeting to have between 60 and 80% of our debt exposure in bonds. That's particularly true now, after we have issued two bonds in July and October 2019, totaling 1.1 billion euros. So really remarkable step in our capital structure. And then basically what we always aim for, and that would be then visible later on, is optimizing our capital structure in terms of tenor and interest cost. And I will then walk you through that. But basically, all in all, what is important to be added and noted that as we have promised previously, the overall goal of EPIF is to have approximately 70% of the total group's proportionate gross debt on the EPIF level, meaning on the holding entity, which now, after the refinancing of EP Energy bond in October 2019, holds true. Right now, we do have really approximately 70% of the overall debt on the hold goal, which is basically sticking to the promises that we have given before. In terms of leverage ratios and cornerstones of our financing, as we were saying before, clearly the management target is to be around 4.3 times proportionate EBITDA. So that's still the goal, clearly, unless there are some external factors beyond our control, and we can discuss that later when we do discuss recent developments. We still are basically aiming at this 4.3 times EBITDA, while this is clearly strongly supported by the dividend lookup covenant of 4.5 times EBITDA that is included in the financing documentation of the group. Still, basically, there are the shareholding agreements in place on the SPPI level as well as SSE level, where the net leverage there is kept by these shareholder agreements at 2.5 times EBITDA. You can see, and you will be seeing later during the presentation, that as of the end of 2019, on SPPI level, we have approximately 1.5 times net leverage, which gives us decent space for dividend upstreaming to the group, and we will be touching on that later. While on SSD, indeed, the net leverage was even negative, as there is no substantial debt. As for the key developments in 2019, as we said, there were two important Eurobonds issuances, one in July and one in October. Also, what we have done is repaying the energy bond on the EP infrastructure level. And from the subsequent events perspective, in January 2020, EPIF as an entity refinanced some of its existing bank debt by raising a new term loan and revolving credit facility. Both are due in 2025, and basically the term loan is 400 million euro and the revolving credit facility is up to 400 million euro. So basically by that we have upsized our previous revolving credit facility by 150 million, so quite useful in these days, particularly. Also, what I would like to highlight that due to the sort of like conservative financial policy that we have in place, we have started to be considering how we are going to refinance the new EU scheme bond of 750 million in July 2020. So you can see that that already at the end of December 2019, Euslim actually secured revolving credit facilities of aggregate amount of 590 million. So this is particularly helpful and gives us some additional flexibility for the upcoming Euslim bond refinancing. With that, I would like to turn the page and have a look quickly at slide number 13. This basically only highlights the key figures. So again, net leverage profile of 3.9 times EBITDA at the end of December. Again, I just would like to highlight that if we do take into account proportionate free cash flow that the group generated in 2019, and when we apply it to the net debt on proportionate terms, we are basically able to repay the net debt within approximately 6 years. So that's quite promising ratio. Clearly, we still stick to our policies in terms of being committed to maintaining a financial profile that would be consistent with investment grade ratings, so that still holds. Clearly, both shareholders, EPH and McBoy, are fully committed to that as well. So nothing has changed in that respect. And let me continue on page 14. Which presents you the capital structure overview at the end of 2019 from the perspective of external debt. Clearly, if you do compare this one to the last one presented for the end of June, you do not truly find many differences. So basically, the structure remains very similar. The only exception is now, in these days, completely debt-free, EP Energy Group. So basically, with that bond being repaid on EP Infrastructure, there is no debt sitting in the EP Energy Group. And then on the SPPI level, you can see that at the end of the year, the net leverage profile was 1.5 times EBITDA. And there is still the short-term depositing agreement between the shareholders of SPPI, where this is particularly used to upstream any spare cash from SPPI to the shareholders as a prepayment for dividend. So this is something that EP Infrastructure uses very frequently, as well as the other shareholders. So it's very helpful, basically acting as a quasi cash pooling structure that is in place between SPPI and the shareholders. If I flip the page to number 15, this is basically overview of the balance of the debt as of the end of 2019. Few things to pinpoint, basically in terms of utilization of bank financing. You can see that at the end of 2019, we had almost 1 billion of unused, undrawn, committed financing, represented mainly by US team, then NAFTA, EPI, and EP Energy. So we have sufficient liquidity lines, again emphasizing our, I would say, rather conservative capital policies. In terms of debt maturity profile, again, as we were saying, what is becoming due in 2020, particularly in mid-July, is the US team bond that is in the value of 750 million. For that, clearly, we have a policy, or let's say, base case by which US team would be willing to enter the markets, but clearly the markets must be at favorable terms, which is currently, as you know, not the case. So, like in that case that the market does not really get recovered before July, what we have in place are those committed RCFs on US team level of 590 million. Then, if we do basically complement it with own cash sitting on US team level, then we would be in a good position to repay the bond, even without a new bond. So that's important message for the bondholders. So no issues from that perspective. And then what you can see is basically that in 2020, as I was discussing, the term loan that was sitting on EP Infrastructure level initially due in 2023, the one in the dotted lines, was actually refinanced in January 2020. And it's right now having the tenor of 2025. So then the earliest related refinancing comes in 2024. So I would say very pleasing picture to see. With that, I would turn to page 16, just a few words around ESG and our strategy in that particular area. As you know, ESG is one of the key areas that we look at, and today I'm proud to announce that yesterday we have obtained our inaugural ESG evaluation from S&P that is also available on our website, so you can have a look at it. We have received a rating of 65 out of 100. I'm really extremely pleased to say that we are the first CEE company to have such a rating. So it's really good result for the EPI group, and really it's one of the first steps in our ESG journey. So we know where to improve, and we will be doing further steps in this key area. With that, I would like to hand over to Gary just to start with the business segment highlights, and then we can conclude.
Thank you, Philip, and I would just like to recommend close analysis of the liquidity situation that we have, which we're extraordinarily pleased to have. If we move now to an analysis of the divisions themselves, we'll move to page 18, and here we will discuss gas transmission. It's our largest division. As we said before, the adjusted EBITDA for 2019 rose to $737 million from $665 million the year before. We are the sole gas transmission system in Slovakia. We transit almost a third of the European import capacity from Russia. We have the largest and most used natural gas import route to Ukraine from Western Europe. It continues to be owned 51% by the Slovak government, 49% by EPIF, and we continue to have management control over the business. Key items of development capex is we continue to build an interconnector between Slovakia and Poland, which is currently under construction and is due for completion in the fourth quarter of 2021. It's a regulated business. Tariffs are set for a five-year period, currently ending in 2021. Transmission fees for long-term contracts, which is predominantly our main contracts, are fixed for the lifetime of the contract when they're started, and they're escalated by 50% of European inflation. All our contracts are 100% ship or pay contracts, and approximately 50% of our annual capacity is booked until 2028 on a ship or pay basis by a major Russian shipper. We're pleased to say that at the end of 2019, the parties of Russia and Ukraine, or in particular Gazprom and Ukraine, agreed a new extension to their contract for transit of gas. The initial contract is for 5 years with a minimum volumes in 2020 of 65 BCM and then extended for the following 4 years at 40 BCM with Russia Gazprom having the option to extend the contract for another 10 years to 2034. For those of you that know EPIF or you've heard our presentations before, we always were of the opinion, strong opinion, that the Ukrainian corridor would continue to play a key role in the transit of Russian gas. We think that this agreement between Gazprom and Ukraine provides yet more clarity on our position of the role of gas in Europe as particularly a transition energy away from CO2, we believe will continue to increase, and also Western Europe will continue to need to import more gas as the key indigenous production, particularly in Holland, continues to decline. So overall, the supply-demand dynamics for gas or imported gas to Western Europe over the next 10, 15 years is for us a key raison d'etre for the performance of Ustream. And we're delighted to see this agreement that was signed effectively provides more clarity for our investors with regards to how our models have always projected this to be. Highly cash generative, continues. We hover around cash conversion, excluding working capital and tax, at 91-92%. We would advise, whilst we cannot make forward-looking statements, we would point out that the results of Ustream were above the norm and should be seen in a slightly exceptional circumstances, as volumes were shipped, if you like, in advance of an agreement being or not being made at the end of the year. However, it was a great performance. We have leverage cap of 2.5, but I think Philip already pointed out that we were hovering around 1.9 as of the year end. And we have a standalone credit rating on this business, which continues as Baa2 by Moody's and A- by Fitch, both on a stable outlook. So that's Ustream. That's our key largest division. Our second key division is that of gas and electricity distribution. We highlight on page 19 some of the key KPIs and some of the key pipelines. We do not believe that this picture has changed substantially with regards to transit routes from our previous presentations, and I therefore just highlight the increase in annual transmission 19 compared to 18 of 69 BCM compared to 60 BCM, and again would urge investors to see that as a fairly exceptional movement of gas. We'll probably reserve more discussions on page 19 for the question and answer session coming up. Those that know EPIF will probably have more detailed questions, but here is an overall presentation of where we stand. If we now move on to gas and power distribution on page 20, Philip, if you can take us through the key points on gas and power distribution.
Absolutely, and I will aim to make it rather quick, because basically distribution segment, as previously noted, is a regulated segment, so you do not see really that much volatility in the results. So therefore, if you do compare 2018 and 19, you can see pretty much like results. I would say the only positive contributor to 2019 results, which was unplanned, was basically additional capacity bookings by some major producers in Slovakia. So there is also one, I would say, rather minor one-off, but still. In terms of regulation itself, distribution is regulated segment in a 4 to 5 year period, ending again in 2021 as the transmission segment. We do not really foresee any changes until then, hopefully, and the results have been rather consistent over the years. So no big news. Cash conversion ability remains pretty much the same, so you can see that without taxes and working capital, we do reach approximately 84% for the segment, so consistent year on year. Again, as we were stating before and on other presentation, basically both SPPD, the Gaza Distributor, and SFD are very well invested. So what we do actually aim for is to do proper maintenance and keep the networks intact. As for that, I would change to Heat Infra, which is another division within the EP infrastructure group, also regulated, consented delivery of hot water, if you will, that is then used by households and municipalities, companies for heating as well as for hot water. So clearly the results there, if we would take out the effect of Plzeňská Teplárenská, the joint business that we do have with the city of Plzeň, we would be seeing almost alike results, which pinpoint basically the stability of the sector, and I would say rather also good visibility. So with that, I would like to hand over to Gary to finish with the gas storage segment.
Thank you, Philip. So if we move to page 23 of the presentation, gas storage, confirmation that we continue to be the market leader, 25% share, Slovakia, Czech Republic and Austria. We're the monopoly gas storage operator in Slovakia. And we also acquired 9% market share in Germany at the end of 2018. We're pleased to say that we bought that asset on the basis that it ticked our strategy of either being regulated and long-term contracted or having a predominantly high cash flow generation. We were also extremely lucky that above the contracted revenues, storage facilities in Europe in 2019 were very full, and therefore the business turned from a good acquisition into a very pleasing acquisition. We have connection to all the Central European gas routes. These make our storage facilities, if you like, not standalone, but well connected to all markets, which gives them strategic importance. 92% of our capacity is contracted on a long-term basis, 55% until 2025-26, and 35% until 2026-27. The business has very moderate investment needs. The major capex is actually in the construction of a storage facility, and therefore we have superb cash flow conversion, 94% in 2019 compared to 96% in 2018. There is currently no price regulation in the markets. We have within our long-term contracts some price adjustments, and short-term contracts are mainly based on winter-summer spreads, and as those that know the storage market last year, we were pleased to see a rebound in winter-summer spreads as the storage facilities filled up. We continue to develop these storage facilities using the operational or the technical expertise of our platform in Slovakia under NAFTA, and we continue to generate some interesting upsides in products. So overall, a very strong performance from gas storage, taking their adjusted EBITDA to 180 million for 2019. But again, I caution the investors that there were exceptional circumstances in operation in 2019. We move on to page 25. Recent developments, I think we might have discussed these, but in January, we signed a new bank financing agreement in the total amount of 800 million euros, a term loan of 400 million euros, and a revolving credit facility of 400 million euros. Both are unsecured, and both have a five-year term. We use these funds to fully refinance in the existing bank debt, which was due in 2023. So as you can see, we shoved or moved, to use a better language, the debt further out to 2024. On 5th of March 2020, We can confirm that we declared and distributed a dividend of 200 million euros to our shareholders. On ESG, we have in March approved a new ESG group policies, which are approved on the EPIF level. And as Philip has just said, we were extremely pleased to announce yesterday that EPIF leads the way in Central Eastern Europe with our inaugural ESG rating from S&P, 65 out of 100, which is particularly pleasing to all the members of our group that put a lot of work into this exercise. Clearly, COVID-19 is something that we will discuss with you. And if we move to page 26, it's a summary of where we are. Clearly, our first priority is always the health and safety of our employees, and we're taking actions throughout the divisions to ensure their safety. Our second core consideration, given that we are key strategic infrastructure assets, is to ensure the continuity of the energy security that we provide. We are identifying CapEx that is essential, and CapEx that maybe can be deferred slightly. But our overall raison d'etre is to ensure that we continue supply critical energy security to the markets we operate in. Financial impacts. Clearly, we are predominantly regulated and a long-term contracted business. This doesn't put us at the front of the implications of COVID-19. The financial implications themselves will clearly depend on the length of the COVID-19 shutdown. I think it's the same for most industries. If it's a relatively short number of months that the markets are closed down, then the financial impact is not considered to be overly significant for a business that is regulated and long-term contracted. Clearly, if the COVID-19 shutdown was to last longer, as with all enterprises, then such issues as long-term contracts, regulation, are all something that would need to be considered. We can confirm that our risk management system is working robustly and is actually working in a more, even more regular manner, where we meet regularly to review our credit risk, our counterparty risk, and indeed we analyze on a weekly basis our working capital requirements. So for now, the financial impacts, well, clearly we can't make a forward-looking statement, but we would point out the nature of our business as regulated and long-term contracted, and clearly our corporate responsibility, we are fully partaking in providing assistance within Slovakia and Czech Republic where requested or where needed by the authorities. So with that, that ends the presentation from Philip Bilek and myself for 2019. We're happy now to throw open for questions. And clearly we'd be delighted if we can to answer those. So if we can now throw it open to questions, please.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask any questions today, please would you press star one on your telephone keypads now. The first question from the phone lines comes from Juan Rosado from Cienata. So please go ahead, Juan, your line is open.
Hi. Well, Philip and Gary, thank you very much for organizing the call. Good to see you again, even if over the phone. I have three questions, if I'm allowed. First of all, regarding M&A, I'd like to understand, you know, if opportunities do arise, what would be maximum amount you would feel comfortable in terms of spending throughout 2020. We're looking at, you know, 100 million, 500 million, if you can give us sort of, you know, ballpark on, you know, what would be the max that we feel comfortable, given obviously difficult market conditions in terms of raising more cash. The other thing I want to understand is, given obviously you have an increasing volume in the gas pipelines in 2019, have you already experienced year to date a drop in volumes? And lastly, in terms of the storage business, obviously the everybody's seeing a lack of storage for oil products in the market. Given that situation, are you experiencing the same in terms of gas storage? Could we see another strong year for gas storage?
Okay, let me try and take those in reverse order. So on gas storage, the storages in Europe entered the winter season the most full they've been for a very long time. The winter itself was relatively mild, and therefore we're exiting winter again with relatively full storages. There are still capacity in European storages in Western Europe, Central Eastern Europe. The facilities are not full, but they are fuller than normal. And therefore, difficult to make a forward statement, but clearly the more full storage facilities are above our contracted volumes, the more positive it is for our business. The second question was on, remind me?
Gas volumes, if you're seeing a drop year to date,
okay.
You have an increase last year.
So the underlying business model of transit is based on long-term contracts, ship or pay, 100% ship or pay. So clearly, the result in 19 were volumes being transmitted east to west, west to east, north to south, south to north, central to south, above the normal contracted volumes. So the model for 2020 is that we still have those contracted volumes, ship or pay, but clearly in each year there is a minor part of our business which is to do with exceptional flows one way or the other. You could make an argument that all of those flows or a significant proportion of those exceptional flows took place in 2019. So in answer to your question, have we seen a drop in volumes? In contracted volumes, no. But in exceptional volumes, yes. So I hope that answers your question. On M&A, clearly we believe our financial position is very stable and very secure. Clearly, the issuance of two more euro bonds in 2019 was something extremely positive to the maturity profile that Philip has in place. The RCFs also put in place of 590 million euros at the Ustream level before the end of the year was also most beneficial. So we believe that should M&A opportunities arise, then we believe we are able to participate. The strategy of the group does not change in that we will only look at regulated or long-term contracted business with a relatively high cash flow generation. Those businesses will be in our core markets. And then from a financial point of view, we are committed to remaining within the bond covenants of 4.5 times proportionate leverage. So it is not possible or highly unlikely that we would acquire businesses that would take our leverage above that level. We are also committed in our shareholders' agreement to maintaining investment grade, and we have three investment grades all on a stable basis. So again, M&A activity would, one, have to tick that we maintain our bond covenants, two, would have to tick that we would remain investment grade. So then that comes down to the real question is the size. And the answer to your question is, if we tick those two boxes, then there is no limit to the size of acquisition we will be looking at. But those two particular boxes, remaining within our bond covenants and remaining investment grade, would be the pre-rider in any M&A decisions. And as you probably know, the market is in fallout, and the strong will look at opportunities, and we consider ourselves to be strong. So clearly we will look at the opportunities, but we have also some fairly high equity hurdles with both EPH and Macquarie's that we would need to jump through. So I hope that answers your questions.
Yes, thank you very much. I just have one follow-up question, if I'm allowed. I'm pretty sure everybody else will want to hear this one as well. And then I'll go offline. With regards to the contract you have on Ustream with the Russian ship or pay, ends in 2028. When are you entering into discussions to extend that contract beyond 2028?
Okay, so this contract is subject to a very, very, very high level of confidentiality. So the reality is I'm unable to answer that question.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, it's star one to ask any further questions today. That's star one to ask any questions today. We have no questions submitted, so we'll hand back over to you.
Okay, so we just, on behalf of Philip Bielak and myself, we're very pleased to respond either by call or email or any further questions that you have. We wish you a good afternoon, and most of all, we wish you to stay safe. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you all.